The Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. And great crowds gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured them. Other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in his heart. This is what was sown along the path. As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures for a while. And when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields, in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. If the children could come forward. All right. How are y'all doing this morning? Do you know what, y'all know what these are? Yeah, they're sunflower seeds, right? Yeah. So Jesus, in the gospel today, is talking about a sower. That's a person who takes these seeds, right? In his case, probably barley. But for our purposes, sunflower seeds will do. And he took these seeds, right? He takes them and he scatters them. He scatters them. And they fall in different places. Well, now what happens when a seed falls into good soil?
They grow,
right? Who makes it grow? God makes it grow. Yeah, that's right. It's amazing. Like in one of these little seeds, there's so much information. It's packed in there. All the equipment to grow a sunflower is packed in this little seed. God did that. So we can plant it, right? We can water it, but it's God who makes it grow. This seed is like the word of God, the good news, the message that Jesus loves us. Remember the song, Jesus Loves Me, This I Know, For the Bible Tells Me So? Remember that song? We know Jesus loves us because he died on the cross for us and he rose again. Well, that message is like a seed. We're supposed to go and we're supposed to tell everyone we know about it with our life, by what we do, and with our words. We say, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. And it's God that'll make it grow because it has the power of God in it, like this little seed. Does that make sense? So we don't have to worry about how other people react. Maybe some people don't want to hear it. But there will be good soil out there. And God's promise is that when we tell people that Jesus loves them, that when it hits good soil, it will make their life incredibly fruitful. So just like a sunflower. You put one of these in the ground, and you get a sunflower, and all, that huge sunflower is filled with little seeds, just like this. Yeah? All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us. Give us the courage to speak that message of Jesus to our friends and bring people, friends into our life who have a heart that's ready to hear it so that they can experience your love and the power of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I'll see y'all in a bit. I'm going to plant these later. In our gospel lesson today, Jesus exits the house and he goes to the beach. I feel like going to the beach. But he goes to the beach and he enters into a little ship there and goes out onto the water. And you can imagine all the crowds there. And it's actually a good situation to be in because if you know, on a day where there's not a lot of wind, that's calm, your voice carries over the water. If you've ever been on a lake and you're on the shore, sometimes this has happened to me, you'll hear like a conversation. And it'd be way, and you see then this little boat way out there, and they think they're having a private conversation, right? But you can hear it because the sound travels over the water. So he goes out so that he has this platform and he can speak to this crowd. And he tells them this parable of the sower. It's a parable that I'm sure many of us are familiar with. And as I was hearing this parable again, I asked myself the question, why did Jesus tell this parable? And I believe one of the answers to that, there were multiple reasons he told this parable, but one of the reasons was to encourage his disciples. Remember, he had just sent them out, and they had preached God's word in all of these different towns. And their experience wasn't all positive, much of it was, but increasingly, not only were there positive results, but there were increasingly negative results too. More and more people resisting the message. More and more opposition to the message of Jesus. And so Jesus tells this parable to encourage his disciples. I think the first encouragement that we get from this parable, the disciples get, and then us, because we are disciples of Jesus too, we're called as well to sow God's word, is to sow God's word liberally. Freely we have been given, freely we give. You notice this sower goes out, and he doesn't seem to be very accurate. He's just sowing this seed, this barley seed, all over the place. It hits the path, it hits the rocks, and it hits good soil. We are called to scatter the good news of Jesus Christ everywhere, right? Go and make disciples of all nations. We don't know the content of the soil. Only God knows the heart. Remember, in the parable, the seed is the word of God, the good news of Jesus, and the different soils, Jesus tells us. It's nice here because Jesus tells us what the parable means. He doesn't always do that. The soil is the content of the heart. We can't know. Can we know the content of someone's heart? No. No, God knows. God knows. But he tells us to sow this good news freely. It should be on our lips all the time, the good news of Jesus Christ, that God loves us, that God has come into the world, that we can know the creator of the universe. And not only that, but we can know that he's good, that he forgives sin, that he loves us. That is good news. And many of us, I know, struggle with being able to speak that news. We struggle to be the kind of person who sows the good news of Jesus liberally. Freely. We feel awkward. And I would encourage you, it doesn't have to be that way. Jesus is in your life. Talk about him in your life. It can be as easy as saying, for example, wow, on Sunday, hopefully the sermon was good, so you can say this. The sermon was really good. And he talked about how Jesus shows us that God loves us and forgives us. It can be as simple as that, Don't make it more complicated than it needs to be. Don't make it more complicated than it needs to be. Tell people the love that Jesus has for you. Be liberal with the good news of Jesus. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word in season and out of season. The second encouragement to the disciples is that they trust God with the results. Early in my Christian walk, I felt a profound responsibility, a weighty responsibility to tell other people about Jesus. Seeing the world as such a broken place, and then what the Word of God tells us about the human heart and its condition, which results in eternal condemnation, this put a heavy pressure on me to tell other people about Jesus. And it was an unhealthy pressure, because part and parcel of it was I put the pressure on myself to be persuasive enough to influence people. I had to say the right things. I had to be perfect in how I talked about Jesus. I had to do it in a way that would meet them, and I put all the responsibility on myself, and that was crushing. But then I learned the truth of this parable, and it set me free to be able to speak about God openly and without that feeling, because in fact that feeling of pressure hinders you. Right, it gives you performance anxiety, right? You're like, I don't know if I'm going to do this right. Well, you don't have to feel that way. Why? Because the result is with God. We see in this story the seed, right? It is God that makes the seed grow. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:6, I planted, Apollos, which was another worker in the church, watered, but God gave the increase. It's God that's put all the power in that seed for it to grow. That's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to sow the seed, to tell people the good news, and it's with God to make it grow. God has put the power in the word. And we see here that it's the word, the power of the seed, combined with the quality of the soil. Right? The seed is falling on all these different soils, and depending on the soil, they get a different result. And like we said before, we don't know the hearts of people. That's God. We don't know what God is doing in the hearts of people. We don't know if he's toiling a rocky patch into good soil. We don't know what he's doing. So that's not on us. So first, God's word is powerful and it's miraculous. And then also, God is the one who's doing the work in the soil. And there are different soils that are shown here. Right? The first soil is a hard soil. It's the soil where the seed hits it and it doesn't go in at all. It just lays on the surface and birds come and just eat it. It's the sidewalk. It's a hard heart. Jesus says that this is the one who doesn't understand the message. And many of us have been in that situation. Perhaps many of us are, where we hear the words of the gospel and they just don't make any sense to us. And it just sounds like foolish talk, religious babble. Then there's the shallow soil. I think this is the consumer Christian that we see more and more often, that many of us can slip into. I know I've slipped into this many times, where we are okay with receiving the word, right? We receive it, but we receive it for our own peace, prosperity, and a pleasant life. But what does Jesus promise when we receive his word? Does He promised that it's all going to be easy? No, it's the word of the cross. He actually promises that if we understand the word, if we understand the good news, that we can expect to be persecuted, that there will be poverty and pain on this journey. In fact, it's only through that we can learn about ourselves such that we can experience the resurrection. For example, every Sunday, we confess our sin, right? The world would say, don't confess your sin. You're okay. You're great. They think that the way to wholeness, to salvation, is by just accepting yourselves as you are. Accept yourself. You're good. But the path of the cross is painful. It says we must first acknowledge, yes, I am a sinner. to feel that, and then to say, Lord, forgive me, I give it to you. And then we understand that Jesus died for the sinner, just like me, and that I am accepted by God, not because of any good thing I've done or can done, and I don't have to work off this shame and this guilt perpetually. It's like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, if you remember. He's carrying this burden, and he comes to this cross, and as he embraces that cross, as he embraces the fact that he's a sinner, what happens? The burden comes off of his back, and it rolls down the mountain into the empty tomb. It's a beautiful, beautiful picture. No, the shallow Christian is the one that is the consumer. Good with God as long as God is good for him. And then there's the cluttered heart, the soil that's cluttered. And I think this is something we run into more and more. In my new backyard, there's a beautiful tree. It's a gorgeous tree, and I will have you all over soon. As soon as we get it painted and we move in, we'll have you all over for a barbecue, okay? We'll do some hamburgers. But this beautiful, gorgeous tree has a canopy that extends over the backyard, and it keeps the light from coming through, right? It's as if in our modern life, our life is so cluttered now with technology, with always having a cell phone on us and always being connected, that it's like there's no place for the sun to come through. See, in that canopy, there's still places for the sun to come through, and you can see it hits the ground, and so grass can still grow underneath. But it's like that with the advent of technology, we're so connected and plugged in all the time that all of those times, those silent spaces in our lives, the times where we might actually have to think about why we're here, the times where we're silent, where we have to deal with our own mortality, and when we look up into the night sky and ask the question, who am I in this world? Who is God? Seems like all of those times are now covered over. It's like all the little places in the canopy have been caulked up. Our lives have become cluttered. Jesus says that they can be cluttered by either trials in our lives, right? I think about how we can get addicted to the news cycle and how negative that can be, or also pleasure. No space for that seed to be planted and to grow. And so my encouragement to you in this is maybe to fast from some of those things for a while. Go without TV for a week. You won't die. Or social media for a week. It'll be fine. And spend that time that you would spend on social media in the Word of God. Say, for example, I'm going to read through the book of John. And every time I would get on social media, I'm going to read the book of John. And I'm going to see how many times I can read through it. It can be that simple. Allow that word to penetrate deeply into your heart and see what will happen. Believe me, when you come back to Facebook, your friends will still be there. It'll be okay. But I say this because this is something that I've learned to practice in this cluttered world. And I've seen the positive effect it's had in my life to encounter God again in his word. And so God encourages the disciples to trust God with the results. And when we trust God with the results, that frees us. We're just responsible for telling people about the good news. That's the task he's given us. We can leave the results to God. And then thirdly, the encouragement we get from this parable is that the disciples know that God will bring a harvest. I love the passage from Isaiah 55 that we read. Let me read it again, because it's beautiful in its poetry. And I think of Texas in drought, and we need rain, right? For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there, but wet the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. But it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. Beautiful. It shall not return to me empty. I think of the good work that the Gideons do. We have several Gideons here putting the Bible in the hands of people. And God's promise to us as we go and tell others the good news is that it will succeed. It will not return empty. It will hit the soil that God has prepared in human hearts, and it will bring forth a great harvest. That is a tremendous promise. It's a promise from God. So that means that God will do it. And you can enter this. It's like guaranteed results. You know that God will work. Even if you don't see it, God will work. It reminds me of my hero, Richard Wurmbrand, and you'll hear me talk about him all the time because he's one of my heroes. A Jew who grew up in Romania as an atheist. And as an atheist, he did not believe in God, and he decided, you know, I don't believe in God, so I'm going to make as much money as I can and have as much fun as I can, which seems perfectly logical to me. And so he did that, became a stockbroker, made tons of money, spent his life partying. Then he got sick. He got a cough because of the life he had been living, and it became productive. And in those days, what would they do if you got a productive cough? Well, they would send you into the mountains, right? They would send you in the mountains to recuperate. But meanwhile, there was another sick man, an old man, a carpenter, in a small town in the mountains, in the Carpathian Mountains, who was sick and so was no longer able to make it to the city. And he prayed to God, and this was his prayer. He said, I have served you, Lord, on earth. Please now give me my reward on earth. And this is the reward I want, Lord. Send me a Jew, because the Jesus I love was a Jew. Send me one of his people so that I can tell them about Jesus. As Richard Wurmbrand was dealing with his sickness, he prayed a prayer. God was tilling that rocky soil. Often sickness and trouble in life will do that to us. And his prayer was a prayer of quite a bit less faith. Remember, he's an atheist, so it went like this. God, I know you do not exist. But if perchance you do exist, which I deny, it is for you to reveal yourself to me. It is not my duty to seek you. This sort of prayer, Richard Wurmbrand calls the atheist prayer, and he led many an atheist in it in his later life. But it's the beginning of the end of the atheism of many, a man and woman. So he goes up into the Carpathian Mountains, and where does he go? He goes to this small town where this carpenter man was. And perchance he meets him. And this man gives him a New Testament that he had prayed over with his wife for hours. And he gives it to him. He says, here, take this and read this. My wife and I have prayed for you for years. And we have prayed over this Bible. They gave it to him, and he could not put it down. Richard read it from cover to cover, and then from cover to cover again, and then from cover to cover again, and he met Jesus. And his life was forever changed. Richard Wurmbrand went on to be a leader of the persecuted church. He went through tribulation under communism, and he preached the gospel to the Russian soldiers that had came into Romania, who had never heard about Jesus Christ because they had grown up in communism. He would get on a train that was coming full of Russian soldiers. He would get on the front end with Bibles, and he would run through the train with his friends, giving the Bibles to the Russian soldiers. And by the time anyone knew what was happening, he would jump off the end on the other side. And the Russians would all put it in their clothes, and he would get the Bibles to them that way. He would also lead even his own torturers to Christ in the prisons that he was placed in. This seed found ground that God had prepared, and it was fruitful, and it brought forth 100-fold. That's the promise that God has given us. We don't know the hearts of man. We have been tasked with the responsibility of sowing that good news into the world. So be encouraged. God has given you a place in this incredible plan. Has given you the opportunity to share this good news that Jesus is Lord, that he has died, that he's risen for you. This is something we confess every Sunday, right? In the Nicene Creed, we confess this good news. And so let's sow liberally. Let's trust God with the results and know that God will bring a great harvest. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.